نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. الله تعالى in his infinite mercy grants opportunities, blessings, favors, opportunities. Some are unquestionable. Like he has rated Jibreel alayhi salam to be the senior most of the malaika. Can you question that? He does as he pleases. He is not answerable to anybody. La yus'alu amma yafalu wa hum yus'alu. He is not answerable to anybody. The people are answerable to him. So there are favors that Allah Ta'ala does it unilaterally. He's not answerable, and we don't know the reason, nor has he disclosed the reason. رَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He creates as he wants, and he chooses and selects as he wants. For his selection, we are supposed to be asking, not supposed to be questioning, that why is he favored over others? Why am I not favored? That's not your business. You just stay on your lane. It makes the life so easy, so enjoyable, that Allah has selected a certain person. Then Allah Ta'ala has preferred the seventh heaven over the first heaven. Because the greatest of the Anbiya after Rasulullah is Ibrahim alayhi salam. So on the Mi'raj, Rasulullah met up with Ibrahim alayhi salam on the seventh heaven. So now why Allah has chosen him, is that your business? Stay in your lane, scholars. So the greatest seven, why is chosen the seven to be the highest? Why is chosen Jibreel to be the highest? That is known to him. Why is selected Rasulullah to be the highest, and thereafter followed by Ibrahim alayhi salam? That is known to him. So what's his affairs, and he didn't disclose it to you, leave it. Don't even aspire for that. لا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض. But Allah Ta'ala has preferred, then you don't worry about it, don't even aspire for it. Some woman had come, complained that men, they can go in jihad, they can attend the Jummah, they can attend the janaza, and they can attend the Jamaat Namaz. And bichari, we get left out. So that's not your problem. He does as he wishes. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَى. What he wants to create, he'll create. Yes, at your position, you must ask, what must I do? He's made a man, and I'm not a man. So Allah doesn't want us to have a gender change. He didn't ask you for that, and he doesn't want you to do it. In fact, the person that is going for that is cursed. Al-mutashabbihuna mina rijali bin nisa. You're trying to imitate that woman, then you're going to be coming under divine curse. So why be cursed? Rather, look for ways how you can also be blessed. So in your makeup, in your creation, don't ask why. Why you made a man, not a woman. Why you made a woman, not a man. That is not your business. Just ask, in your limitation, what can you do so that you can also acquire something? Now that's being positive. And otherwise, your whole zindagi will come out, whole life will come out, and you would have made any headway. Why like this? Why like this? Why like this? Yes? Within my limitation, what must I do so that I can gain something as well? Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, he left the whole kingdom of Balkh. And if you gave something, what's so great about it? You gave something, what is so great about it? Because they evaluated just the room, just the place that he used to be sleeping. If it's evaluated in today's currency, I don't think it'll be less than about 20 billion. Gold and emerald, what. But he gave, forget the room, he gave the whole thing away. At any given time, he had about 500 attendants attending to him. Have you got one? And ask those that are living in Western countries, you still got someone working for you, right? And they? Absolutely nothing. And this man had, at any given time, 500 attendants attending to him for his personal needs. That is, besides the army and all that, his personal self, 500 people. And he just threw it up. Only for the love of Allah Ta'ala. So there must have been something in this love of Allah Ta'ala. The way to achieve the love of Allah Ta'ala, there must have been something too great for the man to abandon everything to come onto this line. But you won't hear of a saintly person that is real saint. One is artificial. Truly you get all artificial intelligence also, you get artificial. So there's a lot of artificial. So one that was genuine, a wali, a friend of Allah Ta'ala, you will never hear of him leaving that to becoming a king. Leaving that aside, throwing it aside to become a king. But you'll find many kings throwing that kingship of that to come on this. So that is got something unique about it. The love of Allah Ta'ala, proximity of Allah Ta'ala, the muhabbat, the relationship to Allah Ta'ala, it's got something very ajeeb and unique. And you just have to taste it to know what it is. Some little girls are playing together, you know. Seven, 6 years of age. So they'll have their own discussions amongst themselves. So now they're 6, 7 years of age. They're curious to know what life is all about. They're discussing in the holiday times. You know, what is marriage? So the one asks, what is it? So they agreed at that conference, they agreed that the one that is married first, she must say exactly what it is all about. Because they can't understand it. They're still small, 6 years of age, they know what it is about. Anyway, one turned 16 and she just got married. Now, as per the agreement, she had to disclose and divulge what it is all about. So she said it in a nutshell. So don't worry, when you come there, you'll get to know. So it's something you have to experience to understand what it is all about. But within experience, is what you know what it is all about. So we're talking of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, and that sweetness that you get in this path, that fulfillment, that happiness. When there's so much of excitement in the material, right? A little bit of entertainment, a little bit of material, and you get so much of excitement in that. Understand what will there be by Allah Ta'ala. So they say that, you know, if you only got that, you throw everything aside. You only got the taste. You prepare to throw everything aside. But Allah will give us the taste of His love. Pure love. So now he's thrown the entire kingdom of Balkh. In that zamana, he's now over 1,200 years ago. So he's the contemporary of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi. So perhaps he may have seen the Tabi' Tabi'in. So he left everything. And some days pass, and all the ministers, they get to know that he's given up everything And here the whole kingdom is in a disarray. So what to do? So they're hunting for him. Eventually they found him somewhere near the bank of a river, and he's sewing his own garment. So they asked him, is this better than the life that you were enjoying? We had 500 attendants attending to you. Now, you don't have a single person even to patch up your garment. Was that better or this better? So he said, now, taking them into a discussion, maybe a long plea, let's circumvent the whole thing now, shortcut the whole thing. So he threw his needle into the river, sitting in the river bank, and threw it into the river. And then he says, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, I ask you fish just to bring it up. And literally there were over 1,000 fishes all bringing gold needles to him. Hey, carry, I don't want that. Get my needle. The one came up, popped up, brought his needle. He says, there I had a command over human beings. Here I've got command over animals. Senseless. Don't have any brains of their own. But what's better? This or this? And I threw it away. It's not that the world threw me. One is to be a dropout. That's like a disgrace, isn't it? A dropout. And one is to drop it out. You drop the world out. What's better? One is to be a dropout, and one is to drop it out. Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah is coming up very well. So he asked his Sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, I wish to just give up all these things here. A little bit of business I'm doing. I just want to leave it. I don't want to take a salary for my work and teaching. Just on trust of Allah Ta'ala. So Adi Sahib didn't accept him for that. So someone asked, but isn't that something very good, something superb? You must drop it out for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So Adi Sahib's answer was, agar tawakkul ka wo maqam hasil ho gaya, to poochne ki nobat nahi aayegi. If it is that he is at that level of tawakkul, trust of Allah Ta'ala, then he won't have the need to ask. If you have got eyes to see, right? Do you properly, you can see it, no problem, no weakness. Do you need to go for a cataract? Do you need to go for an eye operation? The eye operation for that person was some problem. But he's got clear vision, can see very, very clearly, distinct, clear. Does he need to go for any correction of the eye? He doesn't need to go. Now he's sitting on the bank, and it's tahajjud time, and he needs to have a faraz ghusl. And now, you know, he's there by Balkh, Afghanistan. The winters are very severe, extreme severe, all frozen. So now, the love of Allah, there is something else. Muhabbatas wa hazar badgumani. Because of muhabbat, then your mind doesn't leave you at rest. Now he took those chunks of ice and had a ghusl in a cold winter's morning. And just then he stood up for namaz, fajr namaz, or for tahajjud namaz, and he saw something got onto his back, and he's feeling extremely warm and comfortable. So he kind of continued with his namaz with salam, and he saw there was a python that had coiled up to give him the warmth. So when you become the Khaliq, then the entire makhluk begins to serve you. But have you become the Khaliq? Have you become the creators? Have you given yourself, your heart, your soul? Have you given it to him? So when you give yourself to him, then the world serves you. He's engaged in his zikr and what a muraqabah, right? And he sees, he's engaged as though someone has come. So he's not concerned now. He's so thick in that relationship with Allah Ta'ala He's not distracted by anything. The attraction and the bond with Allah Ta'ala is so much, they're not paying attention to anything. And nowadays, to understand this is not a difficult thing. Look at youngsters, and then how they become glued to the phone, and they're oblivious of the environment. They don't know what's going on. So when the love is at that level, then you become oblivious. You're so deep in that love. So then somehow, person got his attention. So he says, you know what? I am Khizr alayhi salam, mashallah, and carried on. He says, but you know what? People for years, they make dua that they can come into contact with me. Say, mashallah, very good to them. And he carried on. He says, but you know, people request me for duas, you know? So, is there any dua that I can make for you? Now see, يَذَرَؤُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ. They avert. You can see now, يَذَرَؤُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ got two applications. One application is, I did a wrong, and when I committed a wrong, then I come forthright, admit my wrong, and replace it with some good. فَيَذَرَؤُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ. I did something wrong. Now I admit my wrong and I try and replace something good to clear it up. I don't want to have a backlog of wrong. One saintly person, see, they are not only worried about, they are not concerned only about the physical wrongs. Even the spiritual maladies, spiritual wrongs, they try and correct themselves. Small, discreet, concealed, they are worried about that as well. Now, those spiritual wrongs, we don't consider, we don't count those wrongs as wrongs. That's the problem. We don't count the wrongs as wrong. So, he's reached a rank, a stage, where he says to Allah, Allah, now you may test me. You may try me out. Now, he thought now he's reached a certain position that he can manage. By the morning he had a prostrate problem. Pisab got stuck. Now he understood. See now they إذا فقدوا أعمالهم تفقدوا أعمالهم. People are such, okay, when they see things are not working out spiritually for them, it's not like how they expect. So the first thing they do is they go and inspect their own أعمال. Right. I see things are not working out. You know, I'm used to now. I've got a clear vision of things. My relationship with Allah is good. My zikr, my Quran, Sharif, everything is going very well. But now suddenly I see that something is not working. So when they see it's not working, تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالُ. They go and inspect themselves. I must have slipped here. I must have done a wrong here. Something I've missed out. What has gone wrong with me? See how they look at life. It's easy to shift the blame. He's a victim. He's a problem. He's a problem. That's easy. But I ask you, will you make any headway? Will you make any progress? The better, easier, and more positive thing is look within you. You may have wronged. You may have erred at some point or the other, one word or one wrong glance. Or one wrong intention, something must have gone wrong. Well, now we're quick to blame that person and this person and the third person, but ourselves. Ourselves, we feel, no, we are buried. Free of all responsibility, free of all sin. We are absolutely clear. That's how we feel about ourselves. If there's a wrong, then he is wrong. He is the culprit. And they look at it differently. How they look, hey, where did I go wrong? I must have committed a wrong somewhere. I forgot about it. Maybe I did it in the past, not now, recently. But I have done some wrong. And I don't know where I went off now, but I must make tawbah and find out the wrong that I made so that there is no repetition. So now, he understood that he made a mistake. He said, Allah, you can try me out. Now when he understood that this is wrong, now I must make an appropriate effort to to correct the situation. We went wrong, now let's go and correct the situation. So he went to the nursery where children are living, all Alif Ba and all that, you know, beginning stuff. He went up there and he says to the children, 4 years, 5 years of age, for those children, out of everybody's child's children, that Ud'u li abikum al kazzab. See the choice of the words. Ud'u li abikum al kazzab. Make dua and ask Allah's forgiveness for your big dishonest father. Your father is dishonest, he's a liar. So make dua for him. He understands that he messed it up. How he messed it up? He asked Allah to try him, as though he felt that it's all self-achieved. I acquired it of my own. For that moment, he didn't realize that it was purely the blessing of Allah that he was going on this path. And now, what did he do? He felt that he's got it of his own. Allah Pak doesn't like it. See, as you are coming up, as you're progressing, then the higher you go, then the more careful you need to become. Not that you're coming high, that you need to be relaxed. No. The higher, then the more consciousness, the more. And that's the world, that's a system of all material things also. See, if you got some greens, right, a cabbage or bhaji or something, if it decays, it's not a big stench, right? But if it is an egg that went off then, or biryani and meat that went off, then what's the stench like? So as it is superior, then when there's a decline in that, that thing becomes too bad, right? It becomes too bad. Now, when you are escalating, then you need to become even more conscious of Allah Ta'ala. Taking stock of yourself, the mistakes that you are making, verbal, visual, even in your thoughts and your mind, you need to be careful about yourself. Where am I going? What's my intention like? So he understood that he messed it up. And when he messed it up now, I need to make the appropriate compensation. I need to correct this thing here, but appropriately. وَيَذَرَعُونَ بِسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ They avert the wrong by doing something good, replace it with something good. So now he understood that he's messed it up and he needs to go for a spiritual checkup, a spiritual inoculation. So now that inoculation required that he humbled himself. So he went to the lowest grade, children. See, Ud'u istaghfiru li'abikum al-kadab. See, you're dishonest, you're a liar. This lying father of yours, make dua for him, please. And they had to make dua, or peshab khul gaya. They just made the dua, and the prostrate that he had, it just cleared up. So you see, the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is different. So Allah Pak likes that. And we also like that. If that worker that is with us, is honest, is truthful, he made a mistake, he will shout if he wants two shots, but we will overlook it. Why? He's honest, he's being truthful, he's clear with us, he's not playing a game with us. But he's going to make excuses, then it's going to upset people. Upset the boss, upset the workers, everybody's going to get upset. But he comes forthright and says, no, I made a mistake, please make me laugh. How pleasant it is. You see, one of the major problems in this day, when I'm seeing it, you know, I'm seeing it every time I think about it, it's becoming more and more distinct, is we are taking pride in showing an attitude. We're not feeling ashamed, we are taking pride in showing an attitude. And we feel to ourselves that that's the way. So from a little child, I was discussing with an alim, he says, yeah, man, from small children, they're showing attitudes. They put up their face, they won't talk, they'll show an attitude. Little children, 7, 8 years of age. So this is the culture that they're going through, and we feel it's a good thing. Whereas it's going to be damaging the child. The line that the child was supposed to be taken on is the line of humility. Just humble yourself. And I say that line of humility is so beautiful, it makes the whole ambience, the whole environment so beautiful. If every, imagine everybody is humble, how nice do you feel? Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Can help you? They are very humble about themselves. Hey, you know, you messed it up, you know, I'm sorry about it. So, how beautiful the environment is. But when there's an attitude then, if your father died in the next room, you're not bothered about, hey, he must sort himself out. Each man for himself, he must sort himself out. That attitude, this is the lane he takes you. And humility, the man is feeling silly, I'm going to see to him. You know, he was there for me all my life. Kama rabbayani saghira. I remember those days when I was helpless and what he's done for me. Now, what must I do for him? See that, just that attitude. That correction of the attitude and what it does. It brings about love, brings about understanding, it brings about open communication. Otherwise, the father is thinking 50 times before he can explain his child something. But I'm afraid now, what he may just do. He may want to just end up his life, he may just want to run away, he wants to overdose. So all those thoughts are running through his mind. But where it's stemming from this attitude. Obviously, that attitude, the cure to the attitude is humility. Just humble yourself. Before you are humbled to the ground, then humble yourself. Remember, one day you'll be humbled. You're made of dust, then become dust before you are turned into dust. And look at the dust. Someone tramps on it. Someone spits onto it. Someone is hammering it, right? Someone is throwing filth onto it. Does it ever respond? Oh, I'm your mother, Mother Earth. So I take everything, everything I take. So when you are made of earth, then become earth. You know, you'll only be so profitable, you'll be only so useful, you'll be so good proportionate to your humility. Proportionate to how humble you are is your progress. Your production is proportionate to your humility, not at all your arrogance. Your progress is proportionate to your humility, how humble you are. And that humility means that you think nothing of yourself. I'm just dust. Al-Mustafa rahmatullahi alayhi. You know, each one of these buzurgan is, you know, each one is, you think he's the best one. You see, in Sonia, he's the best one. You see, he's the best one. You can't make out now who's better. In where they, together they are so humble, when they're on their own they're so humble. And you can't just make out now who's better. But that's the lesson that they had passed on, the lesson of humility. And Allah will give us that understanding, that true humility. Not a make-up humility. A true humility. We are real humble of ourselves. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So now you see this humility. Every buzurg, you will find that humility. Now he's got an obsession with reviving the deen. So Allah made him a mujaddid. So he's a mujaddid, then what will you be obsessed with? To revive. That's an obsession. That's divine. So now he's going from one place to the other place. He can hardly express himself well. But that obsession is such, he's pushing. See what Allah wants. Get this right. When that is right, then your zahir will definitely become right. Get this right, then all the zahir will come right. Allah will take work from you. But get this right. Just work on this. All the time, work on it. Where's the crevice? Where's the mistake? Where's the problem area? Where's the damage area? Let me go and correct that. At any given time, you're looking at that. I got some problems. I need to fix it up. I'm not worried about that person's attitude. I'm worried about myself. So when I was working in Java style, you have to follow the protocol. So if you need to work with the community, you need to get to the Chaudhary, like I would say Induna, right? To work with it, then you get work done. So when I was working with the Chaudhary, with the Induna, thinking if I got it right with him, then all his people will listen. If I talk to them about namaz, they'll listen. But now that's the protocol in India. If you listen to, if you go and work with the Chaudhary, that is the Induna. So Mullah, in a gesture of respect, he just touched his beard. So that person that shows it, whoever does a beard, you see the stick of mine, I'll whack you. Now look at Muaz's immediate response. Muaz got a big following. What was Muaz's immediate response? He held on to his feet. You know, in India, if you hold on to someone's feet, it's like the lowest form of humility. There's different ways that they show the humility in India. One is they take out the turban, put it in the person's feet, and sometimes they hold your feet. So that's just a gesture of humility. So when Muaz did that, Muaz asked him, "You won't be cross with me now?" He cried. Oh, he's thinking to himself, "Hey, this man here, the way he is, and see how he's humbled himself. The way he is, and the way he's humbled himself. Just that gesture of humility and warn the person. Now you're going to say, oh, what do you think of yourself? Hey, you're going to get stuck. You know, I'm a wali of Allah, I'll curse you." He didn't use that line. He didn't use that button. He humbled himself. And that person now turns out to be the wali of the time. So we talk about Mustafa Rahmatullah and the stories of humility. And I'm showing you that the malady, the sickness of this time, and I'm seeing it, you know, glaring more and more, and we're passing it on to our children, our wives and our children, we're showing them that's the way to go. Show your attitude. And we're not telling them show humility, respect, love. That's all Islam all about. Love, humility, respect, ikram. That's what Islam teaches us. So Mustafa Rahmatullah, he was an embodiment. You know, he would conduct himself such. You won't think, oh, he's a buzru. He's one of us now. He'll be talking with you, smiling with you. But you don't know his quiet moments. Quiet moments are totally different. But when he's with you, the way he's concealed himself, nobody can make out that this man is of this standing and this rating. Nobody can make it out. So he goes to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Rahmatullahi. And that was his style. He was embarking on the journey. Then people that age, you know, the Zaman of Buzurgs and all that, you meet them, take the duas, and then leave. He didn't need to meet them. And he was nowhere less than anybody of them. And nor were they his ustaz and mashayikh, no. But he made, I'll humble myself and I'll go and meet them. See that humility, how it pushes the person. I'll humble myself, I'll go and meet the person. And then you look at the students that Allah blessed him. Almar Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right? That he's his student. And now, how Allah blessed Almar Sayyid Khan Sahib? He was studying at a university somewhere. Second, third year. Now, in India what happens, the Jummah namaz, they read in one Jummah masjid. Provided the masjid can accommodate the crowd. Otherwise, they'll have to open the second and third masjid. When one cannot accommodate the crowd, then they'll have to open the next masjid. So now, Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullahi will adjust himself for the benefit of people. What? Afdalun nas and faulin nas. See, who's the best person? Who is the greatest asset? You're the greatest asset, then you're the better person. So he will adjust himself for their benefit. So now, after Jummah namaz, all of us want to have either dal chawal or biryani, right? Isn't it a standard of Gujaratis? Dal chawal, I also enjoy it. I can't say I'm an exception to the rule. I also enjoy the dal chawal on a Friday, right? With some extra aloo fry, all that. You enjoy that. But now, Mustafa Rahmatullah, he adjusted himself. No, see, these people here, they come here. Now, the outlying area, 2-3 kilometers, they all come here for the Jummah namaz. And each one, 500, 600, one, they'll have some query, something to ask. So, Mustafa will have a sitting 1.5-2 hours with them. What's your query? What's your query? What's your query? And they will ask. But he'll adjust himself for them. And the need to do it, you know, this adult education, and the need to have it. We need to ask ourselves, are we doing it? We go to one area, two areas, how much we can, but to educate those adults. Find an area, teach them some of the basics, right? From toilet, to wuzu, to azan, to iqamat, to the respect of the masjid.
We may say, oh, they're doing all upside down here. Ulta Sida kar rahe. But are you making it Sida? Are you correcting it? When Allah Pak has blessed you with the knowledge, then go and correct it. Go and find, see what's the problems. And correct it. Your work is not only to teach, but to see also it's done right. Umar radiallahu anhu is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Right? And he's on the throes of death when he's stabbed, about passing away. But he sees that youngster, the trouser is overlapping the ankle. Irfa is up. Imagine now, at that time also, when he sees the wrong, so it's his subject, and he needs to see that they're doing it right or wrong. Go and correct yourself. See that? Our children, the people that we have influence over, right? Our friends, the people that we have influence over, can't we correct them? Can't we correct them? Small mistakes, the big mistakes. We don't take it for granted. Not that we taught them to eat with the right, to enter the masjid with the right, to take the left shoes out first. Right? It's not that we taught them and leave it at that. Now, see, they're applying it. See that? So, all these things were known, but now some person, sometime in an excitement or something, he leaves it out. So aren't we there to go and correct them? We don't look out for faults. But if we spotted something in our near dear ones, people that we have influence over, our staff, etc., we correct it. To the best we can do, we correct. Yeah. We don't say, now, hey, that's his business, he must go and sort himself out. What I can do without trouble, without any confrontation, I must go and correct it. What you can do, you must do. But I ask you, won't there be a whole revolution on earth? A whole change, big transformation. If each person says, let me do. At least to the extent that I can manage easily, comfortably. Right? Teach them the right Islamic adab, humility, etc. But they don't have it. And it's just escaping their life. And they don't consider it to be a requirement in deen. That makes it even worse. You know, you don't even understand it to be a requirement in deen. No, it's my life. I can do what I want. Who is he to come and tell me what to do? See, that's called attitude. Who is he to come and tell me what must I do? I know my job. Who is he? See that, who's he? That's the problem. That's the problem. And I say it's not a small problem. It's a major problem. Major. You know, I explained this now. Your progress is proportionate to your humility, how humble you are. And your progress, your humility supported with truth, not just humility. That humility is just a formality. But if it's supported with truth, then it's real humility. So Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Alayh, he comes to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jalalabad. And although Mustafa Rahmatullah is elder, right, and everybody would respect him for his knowledge. Hazrat Ji, all, even Hazrat Shaykh Abdullah would respect him for his knowledge. But in his presence, he's sitting now, like how we sit as students. He's the same age, knowledge is nowhere less. Everybody is respecting him for his knowledge. But when he's in the presence of Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah, he's sitting at this namaz position. Until Hazrat Ji had to tell him, you come and sit with me on the same carpet as I am. See, now that's like a exclusive seat, seating for that buzurg only. It's only his seating. But Hazrat Ji is telling him, I command you, come and sit here. I mean, it's a command now, but it will be disrespect if he doesn't comply. So he sits on that place. And then he says, Ye mitti ka dher hai. Jahan chahe isko rakh lo. It's just a lump of dust. Wherever you want to place it, you can place it here, there, wherever. It doesn't make a difference. See the consciousness, the awareness, the presence of mind of what I am. I'm just a lump of dust. And in Surah Kahf, this is how Allah speaks when the person is boasting about himself. When he's boasting about himself, Ma azunnu an tabida hadi abada. When Allah has blessed him with wealth, kana lahu samar, wealth, investments, gold, silver, everything he's got. Big farms he's got. And then when he's in that position of strength, then he says, I don't think this can ever finish up. This is blue chip. That will remain. This will remain. When Lava gives you that security, that attitude comes out. This could never perish. It can't go. I can't go off. And talking of Qiyamah is just a dream. It's just an imagination. I don't think this is a real. Just an imagination, an illusion you are talking about. No such a thing. And if there is a thing like Qiyamah, I'll get much more better on that side. Allah blessed me here, so when I reach up there, He'll bless me even more. But now when the friend is explaining him, advising him, says, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. You rejected the one that made you out of dust. Do you know where you started from, this journey? What you were? You were dust first. Weren't you dust? All of us were dust. The nutrients that are in your body, the different nutrients, right, that assemble together to make you what you are, where they came from? Came from the ground. Came from dust. So He made you out of dust. You were nothing, nowhere around. And He assembled you. You understand how useless you were. You understand how helpless you were. How you understand what you were. Understand, try and think where you were. How you were. What you was. And in His magnanimity, He brought you together. He made you up. خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن. And look at your humble beginnings. What you were. Dust. Then a drop of semen. Napa. That's your beginning. You thought about your beginning. So this humility comes when you think about your beginning. This was my beginning. I couldn't have made it happen. Now, خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُولًا. Then He made you a man. Now you have so much of control, command, properties, influence, affluence, contacts, you have all that thing. Now when He brought you to this level, now you forgot Him. أَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُولًا. You forgot that. Did you ever think what you were? This is how that humility comes in. You think about your humble beginnings, what you were. And Allah can reverse the whole process, can't He? In a second He can do the whole thing. This when someone is being chosen, right? Someone is being favored, then it's natural for others to become envious. Is natural for others to become. Why is he the blue-eyed? Why am I getting left out? You know, I was so long with the Hazrat now, but he's becoming so that blue-eyed, people become envious of him. But now I ask you, all this envy, this jealousy, etc., will expedite your journey? Will it think, it's not going to do anything to you. Don't look at stupid things. Look at positive things that will expedite the journey. Now you know, why is he the blue eyed? He's giving stories here, he's doing this something, he's doing something to become the favorite. Why think negative, think positive, right? Mahmud and Iyas, you know, Mahmud Ghaznavi, he was one of the great kings of India. So his special attendant, a slave, he was Iyas. So like he was the blue eyed. Now all the ministers and advisors to the king, they are envious of him, that any small thing, big thing, I must speak to Iyas about. We're getting left out, we're not getting the show, he's getting the show. You know, we are the brains of the kingdom, we put the things together, we make it run, and when there's a show, this man is getting the show. When there's work, we are doing it, he gets the show. In Urdu they say, in Hindi they say it so nicely. They say, Pya jisko chahe sohagan wahi ho. Think that, just get that one line, Hindi line. Pya jisko chahe sohagan wahi ho. So beautiful like that. What it means, this is the co-wives, they're having it out. Who's the favorite? Me, see my nose so nice. You are this flat. See my complexion, see what? I'm so rosy. And you, Kali Kaloti, beggar. Huh? Can you see? So they can have it out amongst themselves. But once
old auntie comes in and she passes the decision. He says, "What pyar jisko chahe sohagan wahi ho." Says, "Bhai, the beauty is in the eyes of the one that admires. The eyes of the beholder. What he says is beauty is beauty. Doesn't it? You can say whatever you want about yourself. But it is eyes of the beholder that will decide who is the right one." So can't we just change our side? The beholder is Allah Ta'ala. He must say, "You the right one." You may say whatever you want to say, but did he make that decision? So it's not your decision that counts there, it is his decision. So that's the way you need to look at it. Not, you don't do the comparison, you don't make the decision. That decision is not in your hand. Allah lahul hukm. See how the Quran says, the right to decide is his only. Allah lahul hukm. Allah, you know, behold. And lahul hukm. تَقْدِيمُ مَا حَقُّهُ التَّأْخِيرُ نَحُو قَيْدَ right? So you bring it in the beginning, you're supposed to bring it at the end. Like you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You change the thing around. Why? To emphasize, to impress. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ. That right to decide is Allah Ta'ala's. Is not in your hand. So you just cut yourself out of this equation. Leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Yes, you humble yourself before him. Allah Ta'ala, please choose me. Accept me, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not worthy of acceptance. I know I'm rotten, right? But another, that rotten thing also, aapki nazar uske par par jaye, you can make gold out of it, right? Can't it happen? See that oud tree, right? Or that rose tree, giving a sort of fragrance, right? But if Allah's nazar felt on that manure, then, that manure that was feeling, what happened? Then the beauty came out, the color came out, the fragrance came out. That was a result of the nazar of Allah Ta'ala. When he's nazar, we are rotten to the core. Right? But one nazar of his, one sight of his, what he'll do? Pyar jisko chahe sohagan wahi. So look at that. Look at it from this perspective. So he's advising his brother. What he's saying? Kafarta billadhi khalaqaka min turabin. By Surah Kaf, is not only for the security of the Friday, right? Yes, your gunas will be maaf, you get a noor, etc. That is in its place, it's true, you believe in it and you do it. But the greater thing is what this surah contains. What is the lesson? Do we think about it? Do we understand it? Do we try to take the trouble on it? What Allah wants from you is a message of a beloved to his friend. A beloved to his friend. So what is his message? Did you ever take the time to think about it? One is just to get the translation, but not to take the time and to think about it. So he's advising his brother, his friend. أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ. See your humble being, what you were. And then look at the karam and the mercy, the majesty of Allah, what he's made you into. So you look, you know, what I am now, what degrees I got, what power and might and I got. But did you look at yourself from the other perspective, where you were absolutely nothing, and he escalated, he exalted you? Didn't you look at his hand? Looking at yourself, did you ever think about his hand? That he, it is he that gave you. لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. Me, I believe in Allah Ta'ala. And I'm not going to change from this. لولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. Ulama say, you got some blessing, right? Material, whatever. And you want those things to remain. You got something material, whichever way. But Allah has blessed you. And you want that thing to remain. You want that thing to be preserved. And say, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. All this is by the will of Allah Ta'ala. All this is by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. But you come into your business, your house, your palatial home, with a family, children, all beautiful, everything is exciting, right? Too nice, the child, children, how they crying, how they talking. One is saying, Kul hu Allahu ahad, give azad of him. So nicely, so pleasantly, so cheerful, right? But did you ever say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, mera kami. It's not of my own doing. Allah, it's just your grace. Otherwise, I don't know what this children would have been.
someone is deformed, someone is mentally challenged, someone has got some acute problem. Allah, they are all right, everything is right. Allah, mashallah, la quwwata illa. So you want something to be preserved. Allah, when you're seeing the thing, when you're entering, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. It is only by your doing, it's your grace, Allah Ta'ala. Allah, don't deprive us because of our wrongs. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. See that? See that? Listen, Surah Kahf is what? So we're talking of Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah alayhi, and we just moved on. And all that lesson of attitude. And that attitude, how it's busting the whole thing. You know, man is moving so well, but what's coming and breaking the party's attitude? Whether it's a buzrug, whether it's a businessman, whether it's professional, but what's busting the place is this attitude. You're progressing so well, and that attitude comes, and it smashes the nothing. In your staff also, the one that is humble, you feel so nice, you feel so comfortable, you can instruct him, I want you to do this. And you can see a cheer. But the other one is very intelligent, right? But you find it so difficult to access the person. He's so humble, tell him, do it. Shout him, he'll listen to you. Boss, I'm sorry about it. And you got when you got that type of an attitude to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, whatever you say, I will do it. I'll comply. So can you imagine now how Allah Ta'ala will bless you? See, you know, I'm nothing. Just that to see I'm nothing, I'm weak, I'm helpless, I need you, Allah, at any given time. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Your grace, whatever has happened, it's your grace. What is happening is your grace. Nothing of my own, really. Because I am sand, I'm dust. And the dust is of any relevance. I'm absolute nothing. The transformation was only because of your beauty, your greatness, your grandeur, and your compassion. It transformed the sand to what I am seeing. Otherwise, what I am? If I am reduced, I am reduced to this. I am nothing. So he's in that state, you see. So Khizr alayhi salam comes to him. And now he's so deeply in love with Allah Ta'ala that nothing is diverting him. Nothing is averting his attention. And I said, you know, يَدْرَعُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. They avert the wrong, replace it with some good. One is the wrong that I've done, and I'm quick to admit when the thing comes to me, you know. Like the Quran says, وَسْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. You know, you did the wrong and you forgot about it. But when you come to your senses, then immediately, then you don't make a story of yourself. Made a mistake, alright. You saw something you're not supposed to see. Just, leave it. You don't have that. When you come to your senses, they say, Allah, you left everything, made wuzu, and went onto your heels and cried to Allah. Now that is the person Allah likes. That when he made the sin, then immediately when he came to his senses, he went and corrected himself. He didn't say, now, I'll wait for tahajjud and then I'll make mafi. No. I came now, right? Like I say, if there's number two in your hand, you say, now when I'm going to go for namaz, then I'll come and clean the thing. You say that. You won't say that. You say, no, I must go and clean this. How can I live with number two in my hand? You go and correct yourself. So that's what Allah likes. You come to your senses, you came to your realization, and immediately you stop there, leave everything aside. Let me go and correct my relationship with Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to have any type of an interruption on that line. Why must I delay the whole process? I made a mistake, now I must correct it straight away. يَدْرَعُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. I made a mistake, I must correct. Appropriate measures of mistake. So that person, he makes a lot of progress. A lot of progress. He doesn't make up excuses for himself. This whole story of Musa alayhi salam, Surah Qasas. You look at the Nabi, the mistake he makes, right? Straight away comes to his senses. Although intentions are right, intention is to maintain justice. Intention is to save the oppressed. But in the process, someone dies. Legally, it's not a crime. Right? The police now, they went to defend a just cause, right? And in the process, someone died. Will you call the policeman an unjust person? You won't call him. He's trying to defend, right? And in the process, someone died. So they won't call, they won't say he's guilty. He was trying to defend the ends of justice. And then someone died in that. So it was no fault of his. So that was exactly what Musa was doing, because his people were being oppressed. The men were treated like slaves, and the children killed, and the women with the mamas. And you can see how his people are being downtrodden, they oppressed everything, so he has to help them. That's the very nature of enemy. But when that mistake comes, he didn't say, you know, it was a miscalculation. I tried to defend the cause of justice, and this happened. Allah, I didn't do it intentionally. What he says, inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli, straight away. Straight, you don't want 1 second, a minute of a second also, to delay the process. I wronged. He's not keeping his mind, my intentions were right. Not even allowing that thought to prevail of his mind. In his alumnus, I've wronged myself. See, when Allah takes him as a favorite, he's not just like that, no. He's not just like that. There is something that's in the working that makes the person the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. Something that went into the working that made him the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. We think, oh, Allah just chose him, no. There was something in the person, something in his nature, that Allah just escalated him. And I say, when I look at the whole story, I think the main ingredient is that humility. But you must be supported with truth. It can't be just a formality. Otherwise, that humility will be just a front, you know, out of convenience, you know. As Musabrah was explaining, that he had taken a rickshaw, you know, it was Kanpur. So the rickshaw driver, he can see the traffic officer about a kilometer in front of him. And so he all the swear words he had in his dictionary, give it all, you know. Whatever he could give, he gave it. But as he came in line with the traffic officer, he humble, sir, Hazrat, gave his 10 rupees for the bribe for the day. So when he passed the traffic officer, now Hazrat told him, you know, this time you gave all the swear words, his brother, father, everybody you took, right? But when you came line in line with him, then you show sort of humility, respect, you gave him 10 rupees, everything you gave. Then you gave another additional 20 swear words, says, for me to operate here, I need to give this person here this. The work haram, I need to give him. But you see that humility. I say, what is it, a makeup or real humility? It was a makeup humility. Just for him to be able to operate there, he needs to see this person right, then he can operate, otherwise he'll make his life miserable. He has the law in his hand, law is supporting him, he'll take advantage over the situation. So that's not humility. Humility, that is truth, coming with honesty, that Allah really, really appreciates. So we're talking of, a lot of stories we're talking of, in the Muslim term of that Iyah said Mahmud. So now the rest of the ministry, they complain. This man, he is a blue eyed. He's done something, some jadu he's done, you know, he's got this king under control. What he's done. So they went and spied. You know, he has some secret moments, you know. He goes into the confines and he's got some secret moments and he's doing something. He's conspiring against the king. We must tell the king, you know. He's conspiring. He's doing something wrong. Tomorrow he'll topple the government and we didn't inform the government. Won't it be that we are not faithful? So they went and filled the king's ears. Now the king knows what's going on. He knows. But now, obviously when you're at that level, you have to do things with a protocol. Can't just make a unilateral decision. Alright, let's see now. Let's set up some death command, what type of cameras they must have had. Let's see when he's going in his confines, what he's doing. From there we can take it on. Say, yeah, he must do. You know, we know what he's doing in the confines of his room. He's doing something there for an hour, 2 hours, and then he comes out after that. So he put up a trap and all that. And then they found out, when he's in the confines of that room, what he's doing. He pulls out his royal attire, you know, all the royal attire, silk, linen that he's wearing, the perfume, you know, royal. Pulls it out, and the dirty, torn rags that he was wearing, puts that on. The broken shoes that he was, the dirty hat that he had, he put that on. He's smelling, right? The clothing is smelling, he put that on. And then he cries and he says,
Iyaz, this is Iyaz. Right? This is Iyaz. And all this you see, that is Mahmud. It is his grace, it is his blessing. This is Iyaz. This is not Iyaz. This is Mahmud. His blessings, his grace, his favor. And talking of Iyaz, Iyaz is this man. Came with a rotten clothing, was all smelling. Hat was all dirty. Shoes were all broken, right? Body was stinking. That is Iyaz. Now, when the kings heard this and saw this, everybody started crying. And you see the level of truth. Nobody in that confine, who knows? And who is watching? That humility is supported with truth. That is the main element of progress. Fallah Pak, only give us that realization and a tawfiq. As we are progressing through Ramadan, nobody must be deprived. We don't want anybody to be deprived. But now we need to see what is blocking the path. Just that crying, but with humility, with feeling yourself, really I am a waste. Really I messed it up. Really zalamtu nafsi, I made it. But your mercy is such. And when you look at that waste also you're turning it around. But that's your grace. You can do as you please. Allah kulli shayin qadir. You can do it. Who can stop you? Is anybody stopping you, Allah Ta'ala? But make it happen. That now we're working towards Ramadan. This Ramadan must be our transformation, our change. And we work towards it from now. Not that now Ramadan comes and then we are working. From now we are preparing ourselves, working towards it, correcting. Like I say, يَدْرَأُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. I gave you one explanation. The other explanation is that when you confront with a situation, right? Someone wants to engage you, then what do you do? قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. Then you move away, avoiding trouble, but in a dignified way. In a respectable, dignified way, إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. In a dignified way, you are moving away. Like he's told you something, you can also give him a mouthful. Nothing stops you. But then, is that in conformity with the line of the Quran? مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا dignified way. And you moved away from trouble. No trouble, no argument, no back-chatting, nothing, absolutely. Now you think to yourself, if you backchatted, you told him something, you gave him a mouthful, right? Right. After that, you went to read Quran Sharif, how would the quality of the recitation be? How would be the quality of your namaz be? What would be the quality of your dua? So was it worth the while? You spoiled your dua, your namaz, your Quran, everything, you messed it up for this silly ego. It's attitude. It's an attitude, how it blocks the whole thing. Alright, it didn't conform to my thinking, so what? So the whole world must agree with my thinking. He's got a mind of his own. Let him think like that. He's got a mind of his own. He's entitled to his opinion. I don't have to conform. But I don't have to say now, he's got this type of opinion, this type of an approach when I've explained to him. Why must I have that? He's got a mind of his own. Let him think. Let him carry on. You're going to be sitting in the grave, right? Munkar Nakir won't ask you, why did he think about you in that manner? And why didn't you back answer him? Will Munkar Nakir ask you about it? You prepare for yourself. See, we're getting stuck into other people's lives. We're showing attitudes. And we don't realize that we are impeding our progress. All progress will be damaging. Getting stuck. And further than that, we're getting frustrated with ourselves, with people, bringing depression on ourselves. That is now when we move away from the Quran. And the simple solution, right? Think of yourself. I got so many areas to correct. Humble myself, istighfar, tawbah, come to my senses, improve my relationship with Allah Ta'ala. When Ramadan comes, it's such a blessing. And I say, the outer beauty is subject to the beauty of the heart. And the heart, the main ingredient in that beauty is the humility. The humility is like, you know, you got that play-doh, the student play nowadays. We used to call it class test, now they call it play-doh, right, whatever it is. So, as long as that play dough, is soft, you can shape it as you want, right? Make it into a castle, make it into a tree, make it well. But if that thing becomes hard like cement, then can you do anything with it? Now it's a waste. So that attitude, that's what it is. You became hard as a rock, now of any use, no use, you throw that thing away. So that attitude is what it does. So all we need to do is just humble ourselves, nothing.
Allah, you correct me, you make it work for me. I admit I'm weak, I don't know it. My sabak, Allah, you teach my sabak, me my sabak. So from now to Ramadan, we can have that. Allah accept all of us.